Good morning. I'm glad you're here. Saints, I pray it is well with our souls. Would you please pray with me? O Almighty, thrice holy God, we bow before you this morning. Father, we pray that by your grace, we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Our desire, Holy Father, is that in our worship, you might be glorified. Our desire is that in our worship, your Son might be magnified. And our desire is that through our worship, your people might be sanctified. Would you give us what we need? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, saints, the Bible teaches that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Proverbs 22:1. The Bible is full of good names. Many of our children have Bible names, and a good Bible name is Hannah. Hannah. You remember Hannah, don't you? Recall that Hannah was the wife of Elkanah and the mother of Samuel, the mighty prophet of God. Hannah is renowned for that fact, that she's the mother of Samuel. But she's also renowned because we have Hannah's prayer. We have the record of Hannah's prayer, which, like the prayers of Miriam and Deborah, Esther, Mary, they celebrate some of the attributes of our mighty God to the praise of the glory of His grace. In Judaism, the Song of Hannah is regarded as a prime model of how to pray. And it's read on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year celebration. So, Lord willing, this morning I want us to consider Hannah's prayer. But by way of reminder and to provide the context of her prayer, let's remind ourselves of the background. Please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. The first book of Samuel, which is sometimes called the first book of the Kings, chapter 1. We have a lengthy reading this morning, so I'll not ask you to stand. But saints, listen, though we won't stand, let's honor God with reverence and give thanks for the Holy Scriptures before us, even in our own language. 1 Samuel chapter 1, the Bible says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat on a seat by a post in the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said to her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And that's the end of chapter 1. And in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we have the record of Hannah's prayer. The scriptures say, And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture. Hannah's prayer is a remarkable passage of Scripture which has been variously described as by theologians as a prayer, as a poetic hymn, and as a psalm of thanksgiving. It's considered by many Bible scholars to be the earliest extant example of Hebrew poetry. Now, I know that you know the great Apostle Paul teaches that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. But you know, when Paul wrote that to Timothy, the New Covenant Scriptures, our New Testament had not yet been collected and collated. So the Scripture that Paul was referring to is the Old Testament. I'm sure you heard Hannah's prayer is quite reminiscent of a Davidic psalm, isn't it? But that would be anachronism. Because when Hannah prayed that poetic hymn or psalm of thanksgiving, no Davidic psalms had yet been composed. There was no David. David was yet unborn when Hannah composed her prayer. I know that you know it's quite common for Christians to compose prayers or hymns or poems in times of joyous ecstasy and in hours of inconceivable grief. Many, probably most of the Davidic Psalms seem to have been composed in the context of either ecstasy or grief, either joy or horror. A modern psychologist or psychiatrist would probably diagnose David as bipolar. He's all over the place, isn't he? Think with me. Miriam's song is composed in a day of great triumph. In those hours after the mighty Exodus, in the aftermath of the ruin of the Egyptian army in the midst of the Red Sea, she sings and she prays and she says, "Sing to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Exodus 15:21. On that day that Barak pursued Sisera, and Jael, the wife of Heber, nailed Sisera's head to the ground with a tent stake, Deborah, the prophetess, the judge of Israel, prayed and she sang before the Lord a lengthy song that ends, saying of the impaled Sisera, "So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might." Judges 5:31. In a moment of profound distress, even grief, fear, dire angst, Queen Esther called upon her attendants to fast with her before the Lord. And she uttered those foreboding words, "If I perish, I perish." Mary's song is composed in a moment of extreme ecstasy. as she comes to the house of Zacharias and greets her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the unborn babe, John the Baptist, leapt within her womb, and she prophesied. And Mary responded with that beautiful prayer, that beautiful song that we call the Magnificat. You probably know in 1873, Horatio G. Spafford booked passage to England from America for himself and his family. They planned to go and assist the evangelist Dwight L. Moody in an evangelistic campaign there. And Spafford, a businessman, a lawyer, was delayed by zoning business related to the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. So he sent his wife and his four daughters on ahead of him with plans to join them as soon as his business was done. And you probably know the story about the sinking of that ship after a maritime collision. It sank in 12 minutes with a loss of 226 lives, including all four of Spafford's daughters. In the wake of that tragedy, Spafford received a telegram from his wife with the dreadful words, "Saved alone." And as that heartbroken Christian businessman traveled to join his bereaved wife, he penned the words of that wonderful hymn that we just sung, "It is well with my soul." You see, it's in earth-shattering moments, moments of ecstasy, moments of grief. It's in those momentous moments that we most need to remember our God. And God has so designed the human mind that His people ooze, they exude prayers and poetry and psalms and hymns when they're thrilled and when they're distressed. So Elliot, Michael, Jonathan, Bill, you know this. Best time to write a song is when you have one. And you are most likely to have one when your emotions are peaked, when you are thrilled, or when you are distressed. Right? That's when you get them. Well, we're thinking about Hannah's song. So consider Hannah. Like several prominent women in the Bible, she was barren and unable to conceive a child for many years after her marriage. Now, unlike our day, when people think that they can plan their parenthood and decide to postpone the birth of their children, believing they can have one anytime they want, which, friend, is not true. Unlike our day, in ancient Israel, children were considered a clear and unmistakable sign of divine blessing. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Psalm 127, verse 3. Now, with the blessing of progressive revelation and the benefits of modern science, we know a lot more about infertility now than they did in antiquity. But in those days, infertility was considered disgraceful for a woman. Unlike Eve, the mother of all the living, she was unable to produce offspring for her family. That's a disgrace. So consider Hannah. She wanted to have children. She had tried to have children, but she couldn't have children. And think about this. In addition to her unfulfilled desire for children, she had an adversary or a rival, depending on your translation. And the adversary The rival was Elkanah's second wife, Penina, who ruthlessly mocked and ridiculed Hannah for her childlessness. Do you believe somebody could do that to somebody else? Oh, yeah. Know a little bit about human nature? Now, I'd imagine that if Hannah were around today, a psychologist or a psychiatrist would probably diagnose her with clinical depression. Probably. And consider, Hannah had done what Christians are supposed to do. She had prayed fervently about her situation, repeatedly. The Bible says she went up to the house of the Lord year after year with her husband, Elkanah. And he loved her. The scripture says Elkanah loved her and he tried to comfort her, but she was heartbroken. She was inconsolable. In her distress, she cried out to Jehovah. And we read how Eli the priest thought she was drunk as he observed her lips moving in whispered prayer. But listen, Eli was wrong. And here's a little sermon within the sermon, okay? There's a great lesson from Holy Scripture that I've recently reminded you about, but I'll remind you again. A lesson that Samuel, the son of Hannah, would learn subsequently. The lesson that man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Eli the priest didn't know Hannah's heart. And he mistook a broken-hearted saint for a drunk. Now, saints, listen. Let us be careful how we judge. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured unto you. Luke 6:38. That's Jesus. There's another lesson from Holy Scripture that applies here. The Apostle James reminds us, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. James 5:16-18. So there's the little sermon within the sermon. But back to Hannah. Hannah prayed. Hannah was falsely accused, but she prayed. And when she explained herself, Eli repented of his rashness and he blessed her. And she broke her fast and she went away in faith. And God, the scripture says, remembered Hannah. And from the narrative, it seems that almost immediately God answered her prayer and she conceived her son Samuel, whom she had dedicated to the Lord. And you know that Samuel will grow up to become the mighty prophet of Israel, the one who warns Israel of the folly of desiring a human king, the one who anoints Saul and anoints David, the man after God's own heart. We know from later on that Hannah has more children, 3 more sons and 2 daughters. 1 Samuel 2:21 tells us that. But here, listen, here it's in the context of ecstasy, in the context of answered prayer, in a vow about to be fulfilled, as she delivers young Samuel to Eli for his service to the Lord. It's in that joyous and ecstatic context that we get Hannah's prayer. Now, we've already noted that the prayer is quite similar to a Davidic psalm, and it certainly resonates with Mary's Magnificat. It even has echoes of Miriam's song. But I submit to you, listen, the reason for that is not piracy or plagiarism or copying. Listen, the reason for that is that, saints, listen, we are much more similar than we often appreciate. And when the Christian heart, squeezed by grief, or when the Christian heart, swollen by ecstasy, they often bleed the same thing. So we see that Hannah's prayer eloquently celebrates the holiness and sovereignty of God and affirms the central tenets of Israel's faith. Not only is Hannah's prayer a testimony of God's work in her own life, it's a foreshadowing of God's actions in the lives of his prophet Samuel, of David the king, of the Israeli nation, and ultimately of Jesus, the God-anointed King of Kings. Let me read it to you again, this time from the New International Version. Just listen carefully. She prays, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles, he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundation of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." So saturated in Holy Scripture was the Baptist Puritan John Bunyan that Charles Haddon Spurgeon said of him, "If you prick him, he bleeds bibline." I said earlier that the Christian heart squeezed by grief, or the Christian heart swollen by ecstasy, usually bleeds the same thing. And beloved, it does. It does. Not always the identical thing, but highly similar themes and refrains. Listen, the same blood type. C plus, Christian plus. And if you have your Bible open to 1 Samuel 2, look there. And you'll see in her ecstatic utterance, Hannah affirms, verse 1, the absolute sovereignty of God. It is he who bringeth salvation and deliverance. Verse 2, divine holiness. There is none, there is no one holy like the Lord. Also, verse 2, absolute monotheism. There is one God, Yahweh, Jehovah, the great I am that I am. Verse 3, the arrogance, pride, haughtiness, and pretension of humanity. Verse 4, the absolute supremacy of the Almighty. Verse 5, the irony of God. Gluttons starve while the poor feast. The barren woman has a house full of children while the mother of many becomes bereft. Verse 6, God is creator and God is destroyer. He makes alive and he kills. Verses 7 and 8, the providence of God. He exalts and he diminishes. He impoverishes and he enriches. Everything rests upon him as its foundation. All is contingent except him. Verse 9, God preserves and protects his people and he silences the wicked. Verse 10, God will defeat all his adversaries. He will strengthen his king. He will exalt his anointed. In her barrenness, Hannah suffered humiliation and shame. But God has delivered her from all of that. She's not humiliated anymore. She's not ashamed anymore. And notice that her rejoicing is not ultimately in Samuel. Oh, she's glad for him. She's glad for him. But her ultimate rejoicing is in the Lord. She praises and exalts the giver as more important than the gift. When she says, "My horn is lifted up," or exalted, she's referring to a renewal of strength. You see, her body had failed, but now God has renewed her. God has restored her, lifted up her horn. Her shame has been taken away. Her contempt has been removed. She has put her confidence in the Lord, and she has not been disappointed. The scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Romans 10:11, quoting from Isaiah. Beloved, listen, God is sovereign. God is holy. God is God. And God is good. Everything, listen, everything, exaltation, declination, social position, health, life, death, poverty, wealth, all of it is under God's control. All of it. There is no randomness here. None. None at all. As judge of all the earth, God brings down those who oppose him. And to his faithful ones, he grants the blessings of pardon, protection, strength, and exaltation, and peace. Well, I mentioned earlier that Hannah's prayer resonates with the Magnificat of Mary from Luke chapter 1. And doesn't that make sense? I mean, think about this for a minute. Doesn't that make a lot of sense? You see, Hannah is the mother, miraculously, of a great prophet of God. And Mary is the mother, miraculously, of God's own Son, the King of all prophets. Now, you probably know that to hail, I'm not talking about the ice, but to hail means to acclaim enthusiastically. That's why the Romans said, "Hail Caesar." It's why the Nazis said, "Heil Hitler." And it's why the saints can enthusiastically acclaim the apostles and the saints. Both Hannah and Mary are used by God as paradigms of motherhood in the purpose of God. And both of them praise God for exalting them and using them as instruments for His divine purpose. Both of them are like, I'm glad to be used by you, God. And saints, listen, I praise God for them. And Dina, I'm not a Roman Catholic, but I will say, Hail Mary. Hail Mary. And I'll say, Hail Hannah. I will enthusiastically acclaim them. And beloved, listen, we've known some saints here, so we could say, Hail Judy. We could say, Hail Cindy, and that might seem awkward, but it wouldn't be wrong. Look there to her prayer. The last stanza of Hannah's prayer is noteworthy for several reasons. Verse 10, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give strength unto His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. Now, I believe that like Mary's Magnificat, Hannah's prayer is not only ecstatic and reflective, it's also instructive and prophetic. Consider, when Hannah prayed this prayer, Israel had no king. Israel had never had a king when Hannah prayed this prayer. Hannah was living in the time of the judges. So her prayer had to be prophetic. It was decades before Saul and David. Now, we, you and me, reading with our Jesus glasses, reading with the benefit of the apostolic hermeneutic, with knowledge that all the scriptures testify of Christ, now we can understand that the final stanza of Hannah's prayer is a messianic prophecy. Now we can. Partially fulfilled in the reigns of Saul, David and Solomon, rather, but ultimately fulfilled in the reign of the highest anointed one, Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Christ, the King of kings, and Lord of lords. We might say that Hannah's prayer is the Magnificat of the Old Testament. Or we might say that Hannah's prayer is the type and Mary's Magnificat is the antitype. But, you know, Mary's Magnificat is recorded in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. I preached to you about that before, but listen to the Magnificat. Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And that's where Magnificat comes from, the Latin. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is His name, and His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath He sent away empty. He hath helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Now, saints, we don't have time this morning to compare them in detail, but I submit to you it would be an encouraging and worthwhile exercise for you to sometime read Hannah's song, Hannah's prayer from 1 Samuel chapter 2, along with the Magnificat, Mary's song from Luke chapter 1, and see how the themes of God's sovereignty and His gracious providence fill both of these songs. Thank God for these blessed mothers in the faith. Our souls shall magnify the Lord. In God the Savior we rejoice. While we repeat the Virgin's song, may the same Spirit tune our voice. The Highest saw her low estate, in mighty things His hand hath done. His overshadowing power and grace makes her the mother of His Son. Let every nation call her blessed, and endless years prolong her fame. But God alone must be adored. Holy and reverend is His name. To those that fear and trust the Lord, His mercy stands forever sure. From age to age, His promise lives, and the performance is secure. He spake to Abram and his seed, "In thee shall all the earth be blessed." The memory of that ancient word lay long in his eternal breast. But now no more shall Israel wait, no more the Gentiles lie forlorn. Lo, the desire of nations comes. Behold, the promised seed is born. Please stand with me for prayer. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we thank You for mothers in the faith, for Hannah and Mary. O God, praise waiteth for Thee, and to render it is my noblest exercise. This is Thy due from all Thy creatures, for all Thy works display Thy attributes and fulfill Thy designs. The sea, dry land, winter cold, summer heat, morning light and evening shade are full of Thee, and Thou givest them to me richly to enjoy. Thou art King of kings and Lord of lords. At Thy pleasure, empires rise and fall. All Thy works praise Thee, and Thy saints bless Thee. Oh, let me be numbered with Thy holy ones. Let me resemble them in character and condition. Let me sit with them at Jesus' feet. May my religion be always firmly rooted in Thy word, my understanding divinely informed, my affections holy and heavenly, my motives simple and pure, and my heart never wrong with Thee. Deliver me from the natural darkness of my own mind, from the corruptions of my own heart, from the temptations to which I'm exposed, from the daily snares that attend me. I am in constant danger while in this life. Oh, let Thy watchful eye ever be upon me for my defense. Save me from the power of my worldly and spiritual enemies. Save me from all painful evils to which I've exposed myself. Until the day of life dawns above, let there be unrestrained fellowship with Jesus. Until fruition comes, may I enjoy the earnest of my inheritance, the first fruits of Thy Spirit. Until I finish my course with joy, may I pursue it with diligence. In every part, display the resources of the Christian and adorn the doctrine of Thee, my God, in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.